打击闪电最后是不是？Thank you for taking out of the.
Hey Zev.
Yeah, it's the best. Tell me.
Heather's all here. Ah, Nathanael Rubin. One of the great soldiers of Israel. Yuchad. Hey, Mandy.
Hey, Rob. It's nice to be with you.
It's good to be with you. Us in the present tense. But sometimes the Torah Mamish speaks to us in the present tense. The Torah is always talking to us. We say the bracha of Hashem is the Nosein HaTorah. Hashem is the one who gives the Torah every single day. Hashem doesn't just recreate the world every day, but He uses the same blueprint every single day, the Torah, to recreate the world. And there are some cases where the Torah speaks about something that happened in the past. And there are some cases where the Torah speaks about something in the ever-present tense. because it's happening all the time and it's always happening in a new way. It's happening in a different way every time. And so the Torah says, V'haya kisavo ala aretz, and it's mamash talking to us right now. When you come in back into Eretz Yisrael, kisavo ala aretz, V'haya kisavo ala aretz, asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha. It doesn't say asher Hashem elokecha natan lecha, that Hashem gave you in the past, but asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecha, that Hashem is giving us the Torah right now, and Hashem is giving us Eretz Yisrael right now. Eretz Yisrael is something that Hashem gives us every second, and He gives it to us anew. And if there was a point where a Jew felt at one point in their life that they weren't shayach to Eretz Yisrael, then that's something that happened in the past. And we ask Hashem that He should help us to be able to hear the message that Hashem is saying to us right now, that I'm no sein lecha Eretz Yisrael. That if for some reason a Jew had to leave Eretz Yisrael, if for some reason a Jew felt that even though they were living in Eretz Yisrael, they felt that somehow they lost that feeling that they had at the beginning of their journey, that when they first came to Eretz Yisrael, they were filled with the magic of Eretz Yisrael. They were filled with this feeling of Hashem is giving me this special place, the place of Eretz Yisrael, the place where it feels so good to be a Jew. And Hashem is nosein lecha right now. Hashem is giving us right now a chance to be part of this Eretz Yisrael. Nosein lecha nachala v'yirishta v'yashavta ba. Hashem gives us Eretz Yisrael, but that's not the end of the pasuk. The pasuk continues and says, v'yirashta v'yashavta ba. Because one of the big teachings in life is that Hashem could be giving you something, but we don't know how to hold on to it. You know, only in Eretz Yisrael, you know, it's a funny thing. We only say Birkas Kohanim, at least us Bnei Ashkenaz, we only say Birkas Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason that we don't say Birkas Kohanim when we're not in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramah says, is because there's a lack of simcha. V'haya ki savo al aretz. V'haya is a lashon of simcha. Chazal say v'haya is always a lashon of simcha, as opposed to v'ayihi, which is always a lashon of pain. Eretz Yisrael is the place of simcha where we can hear Birkas Kohanim. And in Birkas Kohanim, the first bracha is Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Hashem blesses you. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. And that's many of the svarim, especially from the Torah of Ishbitz, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha means that Hashem should bless you v'yishmerecha, and you should know how to hold on to it. Because there's so many times when Hashem wants to give you something, He wants to give you Eretz Yisrael, and you don't know how to hold on to it. V'yishmerecha. You should know how to guard it. V'haya kisavo la'aretz. With simcha, a person's able to guard it. Even if they're not able to attain Eretz Yisrael in this moment, Hashem is giving every single person, doesn't matter where you are in the world right now, listening to this, Hashem is giving you Eretz Yisrael. And even if you don't feel, even if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you could be feet away from the Makom HaMikdash. And you could feel like Hashem didn't give you Eretz Yisrael yet. When you read what the Svarim say, what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to feel like, you could feel like, I didn't get Eretz Yisrael yet. And yet the way to arrive at that bracha that Hashem is giving you, or any bracha that Hashem is giving you, is v'yishmerecha. You have to learn how to guard it. And so the pasuk doesn't end by saying Hashem gives you Eretz Yisrael, but then v'yarashta v'yashavta ba, there's something that's dependent on you also. Hashem is giving us Eretz Yisrael every second, and then you have to choose v'yarashta v'yashavta ba. You have to choose to receive it. There's an asino, but there's also a kabbalah, and the kabbalah takes place through yarashta v'yashavta ba. You have to settle the land. You have to choose to settle the land. And even if, for whatever reason in the world, you can't at this moment identify as a Ben Eretz Yisrael, that no one ever looked you in the eyes and said to you, you are a Ben Eretz Yisrael, you belong here, this is Nachlasecha, Chelkecha, Yerushasecha. This is your place, and this is where you belong. And that feeling of Eretz Yisrael is the feeling that you deserve to have at all times. And even if for some reason you can't feel that, and you don't know how to feel that, then there's still the Yivarecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha. Yishmerecha means to guard, but Rashi writes that Yishmerecha also means, like in the pasuk of Aviv Shamar Es Hadavar. The Aviv Shamar Es Hadavar by Yaakov Avinu, when Yosef had his dreams and the brothers didn't believe in it. V'Yishmerecha, Rashi says, Yishmerecha means that Yaakov Avinu was sitting, even though the brothers said, ah, Yosef in his silly dreams, Yaakov Avinu said, V'Aviv Shamar Es Hadavar, Yaakov Avinu guarded the matter. Rashi says, Yashav umetzapa, masa yava. Yaakov was sitting and he was wondering, when is this going to happen? When am I finally going to get the bracha? Hashem is no sin lecha as eretz. Hashem gives us Eretz Yisrael, he gives us the nachla. V'yarashta v'yashavta ba. Yashavta, yoshev umetzapa, to sit. That's what the pasuk is saying. V'yashavta ba, to sit on that dream that Hashem is giving you Eretz Yisrael. And if for some reason, like my family, or like others who are listening to this, you had a taste of the Hungarian wine of Eretz Yisrael, you got to hear the niggun of Eretz Yisrael, you got to hear the song of Eretz Yisrael, or if you're just coming back for a second year in yeshiva and you felt what it was like to taste Eretz Yisrael, and then you left for a little bit. So we should be zocha to the bracha, like the Dinever said, like the Holy Tzaddik or Tzvi Elimelech of Dinev explained in the Sefer Agrat Kala, that Avraham Avinu also came to Eretz Yisrael, and then he left Eretz Yisrael, and then he came back to Eretz Yisrael. Because when a person has something, and then they lose it, and then they get it back, so then that's the ultimate level of really having it. The Simcha of Eretz Yisrael, V'haya ki savo el ha'aretz, asher Hashem lokecha nosein lecha nachla. At every second, Hashem is offering us the gift of Eretz Yisrael. And it's our job to v'yarashta v'yashavtaba, to either settle it, v'yarashta, to inherit it, to take it in our hands, or at the very least, v'yashavtaba, to sit, yoshev v'metzapa masayava, to sit and to ask ourselves, when am I finally going to get that taste of Eretz Yisrael once again? When am I going to be able to make Aliyah again, even if I already live here? And when am I going to be able to come up physically, geographically to the place, which is the beginning, just to come to be in the physical air of Eretz Yisrael, to breathe that air? It's so important whenever we can, to come visit whenever we can, and that's part of this... That's part of this Nisayon. The Nisayon of Jewish people not being able to come to Eretz Yisrael as freely. I spoke to a friend of mine just a few days ago, and he said, you know, we usually come to Eretz Yisrael 3 times a year. We haven't been at all this year because we're not able to get there. And so a Jew has to remember all the time that we are where our thoughts are and we are what we're thinking about. Yoshev umetzapa masayavo, to sit and to think. And that should fill us with simcha. It shouldn't fill us with sadness. Lehefech. It should fill us with a sense of simcha that even though we're not there, we're able to be there just by being yoshev, yashavta ba. Yashavta means to sit over it. To sit, to have a... You know, the Chafetz Chaim said, I've said this so many times, but the Chafetz Chaim said that if a Jew, for some reason, can't be in Eretz Yisrael, or if a Jew right now is sitting somewhere in Eretz Yisrael and they can't be in Yerushalayim, and if all of us who are sitting here right now can't be sitting by the Har HaBayis, then the Chafetz Chaim said to the soldiers who were inscripted to the army, and they said, you know, Rebbe, we don't have kashrus, Talmud Torah, we don't even have Shabbos, what should we do to stay connected? So the Chafetz Chaim said, if you can for a second just sit and orient your body in the direction of Eretz Yisrael, in the direction of Eretz Yisrael, wherever you are in the world, just for a minute, you don't have to say a word, you don't have to tell anybody anything, you don't have to get permission from your army officer. You just sit and orient yourself towards Eretz Yisrael. Orient yourself towards the Makom HaMikdash for a second in the day. And that's a kiyum of v'yashavta ba. A lashon of yoshev u'metzapa masayavo, to sit and to think. When am I going to be zocha to those hasagos that I had when I was my first year in Eretz Yisrael? Like the Baal Shem Tov said, ein chasidus ki chasidus harishona. There's no taste of chasidus like that first time. That first time you got excited about something. There's no sense of being excited like the first time you were in Eretz Yisrael. And so Hashem should help us that we should be able to be, not only to have the bracha and to know that we're having the bracha of nosein lecha nachla, but via rishta, we should inherit it, we should take it with our two hands and grab it close, and at the very least via shavta, but to sit over it. The month of tshuva of thank you. this is a song about yearning for Eretz Yisrael, and about tshuva, and how tshuva and Eretz Yisrael are wrapped up in each other. V'haya kisavo el aretz, asher Hashem lokecha nosim l'chanachla v'yirshta v'yashavtaba. V'yashavtaba is also a lashon of tshuva. It's also a lashon of tshuva. V'yirshta v'yashavtaba. Shamati she'omrim she'heichal ha'negina karov me'od el heichal ha'tshuva aval ani omer she'heichal ha'negina hu atzmo heichal ha'tshuva Shamati she'omrim she'heichal ha'negina karov me'od el heichal ha'tshuva aval ani omer she'heichal ha'negina hu atzmo heichal ha'tshuva Shamati she'omrim she'heichal ha'negina karov me'od el heichal ha'tshuva aval ani omer she'heichal ha'negina hu atzmo heichal ha'tshuva
La 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 la
Rebbe Rayatz made a journey to Eretz Yisrael. The sixth Lubavitch Rebbe made a journey to Eretz Yisrael. And on the way to Eretz Yisrael, he stopped over in Egypt, of all places. And on his way through Egypt, he stopped off at one of the train stations over there. And all of a sudden, the train came to a halt, and the doors opened, and this very frantic scene, a Jew ran right into the little section of the train where the Rebbe was, and everybody kind of was startled, and they saw he was holding in his hand this big basket. Came and he thrust the basket into the hands of the Rebbe Rayatz, and the Rebbe Rayatz looked down and he sees a beautiful fruit basket. Now the Gemara says that anybody who gives a gift to a Talmud Chacham is like they brought Bikurim. Vayhi kisavo la'aretz, you come to the land of Eretz Yisrael, v'lakachta mereishis kol pri adama, you take from the first fruits and you bring it. And so, Bikurim is only shaykh when there's a Beis HaMikdash, but anybody who comes and brings a gift to a Talmud Chacham, it's like they're bringing Bikurim. That's the Gemara already makes this drasha. So this Yid comes bursting into the train where the Rebbe Rayatz is sitting, and he thrusts this basket into his hands, and the Rebbe Rayatz is totally bewildered. And this Yid says, Rebbe, I'm sure you don't remember this, but when you were a little boy, and I was also a little boy, my grandfather came to visit your grandfather, the Rebbe Maharash. Rebbe Reb Shmuel. Marina Reb Shmuel. The fourth Lubavitch Rebbe. And he came to visit him with this beautiful fruit basket. Mamish, the most beautiful fruits. And he brought me along so that I could meet your grandfather. And when I came to come visit, you were a young boy. You were sitting in, like, running around your grandfather's office. And I was a young boy. And the two of us kind of were playing together while our grandfathers were talking. And the Rebbe Reb Shmuel said to my grandfather, he said, you see our two boys sitting over there? He said, I want to bless you that just like you came and brought me these beautiful fruits, that one day your grandson should come and bring beautiful fruits to my grandson. And this Yid said to the Rebbe Rayatz, he said, my whole life has been a very strange You know, there have been ups and there have been downs. There have been lots of different twists and turns in my life, but I was always thinking about that bracha that I got from your grandfather, that your grandson should come and give fruits to my grandson. And he said, my whole life, no matter what happened to me, no matter where I was always thinking that one day there's going to come an opportunity where I'm going to be able to come with a gift basket of fruits to come to present to the grandson of Rebbe Reb Shmuel. And that no matter how far in moments I strayed from the path, I knew that one day I'd have to come stand in front of you and I'd have to give you a gift. And I wanted to come looking like an Erlich Yid. I wanted to come not just looking like an Erlich Yid, but being an Erlich Yid. And that helped me to hold on no matter where I was. And when I heard that you were coming through Egypt, I got myself together and I found the most beautiful fruits I could find in the entire Shuk. And I wanted to come and I'm coming to present them to you. And I was thinking about that story and I was thinking, why is that even a story? You know, like what's... It's a nice story, you know, this bracha kept him attached. This bracha kept him somehow connected to a tradition of tzaddikim that he felt that somehow he needed to maintain himself so that he would one day be able to fulfill this bracha. But I think there's another nekuda in the story that speaks to me so strong. And it's actually alluded to in the pasuk. It's alluded to in this. That Hashem says He's going to give us all the brachos. Hashem wants to bless us with all of these brachos. Uvo alecha kol habrachos. Ha'ela v'hasigucha ki tishma b'kol Hashem lokecha. Pasuk says in Parshas Kisavo that when Hashem's talking about all the brachos, if we listen to Hashem's voice, uva alecha kol habrachos, and all the brachos will come upon you v'hasigucha, and they'll catch you v'hasigucha. To be masik somebody like means to they're going to come and they're going to chase you down. Kol rodfeah hisigua ben amitzarim, the pasuk says in Echa. That all those who chase you, the rodfeah hisigua, hisig means to catch you, to grab you. Kol abrachos ha'ilu, they're going to be masig you, they're going to catch you. So I was thinking that there's an akuda in this story that it's one thing to get a bracha, right? It's something to get a bracha. There's certainly brachos that I've received in my life that have been chasing me down. My whole life that are chasing me down, that are calling me back to be an Erlich Yid. But there's something also, it's like we were talking before, Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. And when Hashem wants to give you a bracha, and anytime you get a bracha, there's a certain inyan of being masik the bracha. To go and to get it. To go and to allow it to catch you. And so this Yid allowed this bracha, it wasn't just stam a bracha that he got one time. I'll give you another example. One of my heroes is the Ragachov Ragon. I have a fondness for the Ragachov Ragon. It probably runs in my family. Something special about the Ragachov Ragon. He was himself a Chabad Chassid who, if anybody is going to say that to be a Chassid means to be, you know, not a Talmud Chacham, the Ragachov Ragon is certainly a raya to the contrary. The Ragachov Ragon, they used to say about the Ragachov Ragon that if you would cut him open, he would bleed Daf Yerushalmi. And Bavli too, but even Daf Yerushalmi. If you cut him open, he would just start bleeding Daf Yerushalmi. That was what they said about the Ragachov Ragon. He said about the Ragachov Ragon that it wasn't that he was such a genius that he remembered, but he had always just seen what you were talking about because he was constantly being Mavir Shas. When the Ragachov Ragon was a young boy, he also got a bracha from a tzaddik. And one of the rebbes of Chabad said to the Ragachov Ragon, you know, he was a young man, he was a very young man. He said, you know, I want to give you a bracha that you should finish Maseches Nazir. I want to give you a bracha that you should finish Maseches Nazir. And the Ragachov Ragon took that bracha and he allowed the bracha to chase him down, to be masig him. The Ragachov Ragon didn't just finish Maseches Nazir, but he understood that if a tzaddik is giving me a bracha, if the tzaddik is giving me a bracha that I should finish Maseches Nazir, then gewalt, it's not just my job to finish Maseches Nazir, but I should maybe take on some of the hanhagos of being a Nazir. I don't think the Ragachover was a Nazir. He was like a Nazir without the practical, you know, halacha of Nazir. But then Ragachover had a wild, he never got hair, he didn't get haircuts. There's different reasons why. Maybe he didn't ever want to take off his yam because he wanted to speak Torah, but also because of this bracha. The Ragachover Gon was a shtickle. There was an aspect of him that was like a Nazir. Because he understood that when you get a bracha from a tzaddik, the bracha is not just a bracha. The Piazetzner spoke about this also in Tzav Aziraz. The Piazetzner said, sometimes we give ourselves brachos. All of you are sitting here, you came to Eretz Yisrael for a reason. You came here to study Torah, to work on yourself, to be masig something. Not just to bless yourself. Piazetzner in Tzav Aziraz, all the time we're blessing ourselves. Oh, David, I bless myself that I should be able to give over Torah in a sweet way to my Talmidim. I bless myself that I should be patient with my children. I bless myself that I should finish Masechtas and I should become a big Talmud Chacham. We bless ourselves, but then you have to be masig it. You have to go chase it down and let it chase you down. The bracha is okay, the bracha is sweet. But what's so special about this story, about this chassid, is here he was a little boy, he got this bracha. And instead of it being, okay, a nice, cute story, you know, I bless you that your grandson should come and give fruits to my grandson. Like, what's even the inyan? It's not even an inyan. It's not even like a, okay, you know, the Gemara says that if you give a gift to a Talmud Chacham, it's like you brought Bikurim. But he understood that there was something so deep, he understood that this bracha was not just a bracha, but it was something which had chased him his whole life. The way that this chassid related to the bracha wasn't just, okay, I got a bracha from a tzaddik. But he was able to take that bracha and say, I'm going to let that bracha chase me my whole life, and every time I feel like there's something that's not going, I didn't just get a bracha, but it's something that follows me throughout my life. And I was waiting, Yoshev u'metzapa, when am I going to be able to come and fulfill that? And to let that chase me. You know, there's a story about one of the tzaddikim of Ger, Chidush Harim, I think. That he one time, a chassid came to him and said, Rebbe, I'm going on business. I'm going on business to a certain town. And the Chidush Harim said to him, Gevalt, you're going on business to that town. You know, in that town, they have mamish the best cigars. Would you please, when you're there in the town, just please remember, pick me up a pack of cigars from this town. They have mamish the best cigars, and bring it back with you when you come back. So the chassid thought, that's pretty strange, and I didn't even know the Rebbe smoked. So he went off on his trip, and he went on the trip. You know, tzaddikim, when you're going on a trip, tzaddikim see things. I have a friend, Josh Liggett, whose father one time went to the 7th Lubavitch Rebbe. Okay? My payas are still growing back, so we're still very much in the Lubavitch. Breslov is coming soon. But he went to the 7th Lubavitch Rebbe, Nachman El Schneerson, and he said to him, the Rebbe used to give out dollars on Sunday morning. So a friend of mine, Josh Liggett, this is eyewitness testimony from his father. His father went one time to go ask the Rebbe Eitzel because he wanted to go on a business trip to France because he was in the textile business and he wanted to go buy some fabrics from France. So he went to go wait online for the Lubavitch Rebbe dollars to get a dollar and to get a bracha vatzlacha from the Rebbe and to ask the Rebbe, you know, for a bracha. Ready for the story, Chevra? There are still people, the Rebbe, you know, to what some people might think, the Rebbe's not still alive. But there are tzaddikim alive who could still do this. And the Rebbe is chai v'kayim in other ways. Maybe he's not in this world, but like the Alter Rebbe writes, when a person leaves the world, he's more able to be Paul Yeshuas. So the Rebbe is standing there giving out dollars, and he's getting closer. And he's thinking, okay, I'm going to tell the Rebbe that I'm going on this trip. And you know, he's getting ready, he's getting excited. And he walks in front of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe holds out a dollar and passes a dollar to my friend Andy, my friend Josh Liggett, his father's name is Andy Liggett, and he gives him a dollar, and he looks at Andy, and before Andy could even open his mouth, the Rebbe smiles at him, and he says, au revoir, which is how you say, you know, have a good trip, you know, shalom in French, au revoir. And he just took the dollar, and he like shuffled along, you know. This happened in our lifetime. You can go visit him, he lives in Shari Chesed, Andy Liggett. Anyway, so the Chidush Harim is telling him, you know, take some money and please buy me a case of these fine cigars. So this Yid goes on his trip and he comes back from the trip, and all of a sudden, you know, he lands back by the Chidush Harim. He lands, you know, and he's in the, again, I'm ad-libbing for modern context, but he's in the duty-free shop, you know, on the way back in the airport. And he says, "Oy vey, I forgot the cigars." And he goes on the trip, he comes back, and he, "Oy, I forgot the cigars, but there's, okay, I'm still in the airport duty-free, you know." It's probably a similar matzav on the, in the train stations back then, or however they. So he said, "Oh, you know, it's a little more expensive, but the cigars from that place, I can get them here also." So he took a little bit of his own money, he took a little bit of the Rebbe's money, and he paid the difference, and he bought the cigars, and he brings them to the Rebbe. And he gives the Rebbe the cigars, and the Rebbe says, "Nu, how was the trip?" And he says, "The trip was good, it was good. I was successful in business." And the Rebbe said, "You know, and the cigars? He said, yeah, I gave her the cigars, they're in the bag that I gave to Rebbe." He said, "No, but the cigars, did you buy the cigars in the..." So he said, "I gave them to Rebbe, they're right over there." And he already knew that the Rebbe knew it was up. So the Chidushim said to him, "You know, what about the cigars? Did you buy the cigars where..." So the Rebbe said, I know you didn't buy the cigars. He said, "The reason I gave you the money," he said, "you think I have interest in cigars? I don't need cigars. I could buy the cigars here if I want to buy the cigars here. Save a few dollars." That's what the Chidushim was interested in, to save a few bucks. You know, there's a sale on cigars in the supermarket, go buy me some cigars. Like, he said, "I wanted to be with you the whole time. I want you to be thinking about me the whole time." That everywhere he went, he said, "Oh, I have to still buy the Rebbe cigars," you know, like, and every shop that you would go into, and every time you were doing business, you'd constantly be looking like, "Oh, where's, you know, I know there's cigars around here somewhere. I wanted to be with you and for you to be with me the whole time." That's what it means to have a bracha, to be masig you, to really take that bracha with you. When the Rebbe gives you a bracha of au revoir, he's not just saying have hatzlacha in business, he's saying, "Think about me all the time, also in business. Don't just let your business creep into your Shmona Esrei, but let your Shmona Esrei and your learning and your chalashing for Hashem, let your dveikas for Hashem creep into your business. All of a sudden you find yourself, you know, walking somewhere to go buy a shawarma. Why is it always that we're only thinking about shawarma in the middle of Shmona Esrei, but we're not thinking about Shmona Esrei in the middle of getting the shawarma? Or maybe we are, dafka, I don't know. Special chavra here." And that's the goal. The goal is to be thinking about the Rebbe when you're doing business, and not thinking about business when you're sitting with the Rebbe. To be thinking about Hashem when you're going about your day, when you're doing laundry and when you're unpacking your bags a little bit. I don't know if you finished unpacking, but when you go back to the dorms and you're unpacking your bag, that's the ikkar. One of the most painful things that any Rebbe ever has to endure is when you give a shir and you invest time and energy and love into a Talmud and they're so excited in shir, and then all of a sudden, you know, you go together to the dorms and you're eating lunch and you excuse yourself from the table for a moment to go to the bathroom before you're gonna bench or something like that, and you're in the bathroom in the stall and you hear like a Talmud, that same Talmud in shir was like mamish eish lahava on fire, like, you know, talking on the phone in the bathroom or whatever to his friend or something, or talking to another person in the stall, or just all of a sudden, you know, they let out, you know, a juicy four-letter word or something in the bathroom. And Rahman Litzlan, you know, it's like, better to be thinking about shir in the bathroom, even though that's a problem too. But to allow our minds to be constantly filled, even when we're doing laundry, the ikr of anything I could ever give over to any of you, and some of us were just beginning our relationship, the ikr of anything I could ever give over to you does not happen when we're learning Torah together. The learning Torah together, you know, we just learned together, some of us who are in morning Seder together, we learned that Maisa Merkava, that's Dvarim Gedolim. Havayos De'abaya V'rava, that's Davar Katan. Right? Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai, he knew Davar Gadol and Davar Katan. He knew big things and he knew little things. The Gemara says, what's big things? Maisa Merkava. And what's little things? The Havayos De'abaya V'rava, the Svaros of Abaya and Rava, the sayings, the teachings of Abaya V'rava. Maisa Merkava, there doesn't only mean Kabbalah. Because that's the whole Indian of Kabbalah. You know what the whole Indian of Kabbalah is? The whole Indian of Kabbalah is that you should be like the Tzaddikim said, that you should be, and it's happened to me so many times also. It's not just disappointments, Chalila, it's mostly not. Those painful moments are few and far between. And I doubt it even ever happened in this yeshiva. It happened in other places. Maisa Merkava means, what's Merkava? Merkava means the chariot, right? The chariot is, that's when you're going, when you're in the chariot. The chariot means when you're traveling on the road, you're doing business. Merkava means you're going, that's like the business, right? Busy. You go in your, like especially in times of the Gemara, you go in your chariot and you go on a tiul somewhere. Maisa Merkava is the Dvarim Gedolim. Because the main thing is, if you're able to learn Torah in such a way, if you're able to find people who believe in you, Chevra, who are listening over here, if you're able to find people who believe in you in such a way where they say, I'm giving you over the means to not just b'shivtecha b'veisecha, not just to b'shivtecha b'veisecha, not just to sit in the Beis Medrash. B'shivtecha b'veisecha, that's one Indian that you're learning right now. Everyone's learning b'secha sukkah. B'shivtecha b'veisecha means when you're sitting in the Beis Medrash and you're learning b'veisecha in your house, in the house. But there's also a Torah of uvalechtecha v'derech, which is maisa merkava, which is when you're going on the road, when you're not in the Beis Medrash. When you're just stam, buying something to eat, or you're stam going to play, exercise a little bit outside. That's if you're able to think about the Rebbe when you're going to buy cigars, when you're going to do business. If you're able to think about Hashem when you're out on the road doing maisa merkava, if you let Hashem sneak into those parts of your life, if you learn how to belech the chavaderech, then you're doing it right. Then you've really been mekabel ol malchus shemayim. That's part of Shema. Part of the Indian of Shema is you say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. For Hashem to be Echad, it means that Hashem is Echad in my life when I'm in the Beis Medrash, and it's Echad when I'm with Hashem, showering. And I'm Echad with Hashem when I'm getting a stain out of my clothing, and I'm Echad with Hashem when I'm making money on Wall Street. I'm Echad with Hashem everywhere where I am. And so there are people who are listening to this right now as they're driving somewhere to work, and there are people who are going to listen to it later on recording as they're, as they're coming home from work, a busy day, surrounded by people who maybe don't share the same values as they do. And you should know that that's the ikar place when you could serve Hashem. The ikar place to serve Hashem is when you're out in the field. That's the whole Torah of Bikurim. That the bracha should be masig you when you're out in the field. Mehechi tesi, that a Jew is out, he's a farmer in the field, and he goes into his field, and all of a sudden he's thinking about Hashem. Wow, bikurim. Truma, meiser. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, bereshis. Each of these things is called reshis. Right? Truma is called reshis. Meiser is called reshis. Chala is called reshis. Reshis arisosechem chala. So the Medrash says, bereshis, bishvil reshis, baral kimis Hashemayim yisaretz. Hashem created the world for the sake of reshis. What is it? Hashem created the world for truma and meiser and bikurim and chala and these things? Reshis, diganecha. Reshis, bikurim. What does that mean? It means that Hashem created the world so they should have a dira b'tachtonim, that Hashem should be in the world, not only in the Beis Medrash. Not just to have Hashem be in the Beis Medrash and in shul. That's putting Hashem in jail. In a few days, it's going to be Chai Elul. Chai Elul. Chai Elul is a big day in the Jewish calendar. Chai Elul, which is a celebration of this revelation of Chassidus. We'll talk about it on Chai Elul and Yitzhak Hashem more in depth. Chai Elul is an Indian of being alive. I told you already once, Elul is a lashon of Lasur, to go explore. Lasur, Chai Elul means to be alive with Hashem, to Chai Behem, Atem Advekim B'Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Ayom, to be Chai with Hashem when you're Elul, when you're traveling around. Like the Targum explains, translates the words, Vayasuru Es Eretz Kanan, that the Meraglim were told to go and to explore Eretz Kanan. This is when they were still good, when they were still exploring Eretz Yisrael. And the Targum translates, Vayasuru Es Eretz Kanan, means vayalulun yasar kanan, that they should go and ya'alul, they should go and tour Eretz Kanan. So chai elul means to be alive and to be davuk tashem, even when you're around and you're touring, when you're valechtecha v'derech, when you're going out on the road. So Hashem should help us that we should be tzadikim gemurim. To be a tzadik gomer means that we're able to find Hashem everywhere, that we're gamur, that we're complete, we're whole, we're able to be marach the echad into our entire life, and to find Hashem everywhere. I think this is an appropriate song probably to sing about this. missing you. So one of the great menagnim of our generation is a man by the name of Michael Shapiro, and I had the great privilege of singing this niggun for the honor of Hashem and for the honor of my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Weinberger. And a funny thing, he was like going around everywhere playing the song off of phone, so now I'm playing it into a phone also. He was playing it out of the phone, I'm playing it into the phone. So Mirtz Hashem should be a meditation for all of us, that we should be able to think of Hashem is everywhere, wherever we go, Hashem is there. In the field, in the office, in the kitchen, in the laundromat, wherever we find ourselves, Hashem is there. And Kal v'chomer, when we have an opportunity to be kovei itim l'Torah, to be able to be in a beis medrash, to go and to learn every single day, like Rav Nachman said, that if we learn Torah every single day, if we're kovei, time to learn Torah every single day, it'll lift us up even from the darkest and dirtiest places that we could ever imagine ourselves being. Chalila shalo nodami, that we should know from that. Hashem is obviously in the beis medrash, Hashem is obviously in the shul, but the davening that we're doing right now, even though we're sitting here in a beis medrash, is that we should be able to find Hashem even when we're not in this place.
I'm master of the universe, I will sing a song. Where will I find you? But where do I not find you? Where I go, there you are. Where I stay, there you are too.
I'm going to try a new nigun. You may not be familiar with it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it somehow got to you over over the years. Maybe it was passed down. Sure. We'll sing it as a nigun, but the words go to Yonah Matzav HaManoach. For me, there's something about returning to this place, to this Beis Medrash, that is a level of Shabbos. You know, we're preparing. This is, everybody knows, Divrei Elokim Chayim, affectionately referred to by some as Light Fest, is the earliest Kabbal Shabbos minyan in all of Yerushalayim. And the confluence of coming back to Eretz Yisrael, coming back to Oraita for me after a 2-year hiatus, and being in the Space Medrash together with all of you after 2 weeks locked up in a hotel, takes a certain amount of presence to be able to do that. So there's a certain feeling of Yonah Matzav HaManoach. We found a place to finally perch. And it's a good nigun. You should sing it on Shabbos in Mitzvah Shem this week.
La 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 la
Gewalt. How do I not mention? It's my father's bar mitzvah parsha. And it's interesting, my father and I have a very strong bond over this. Because Bahar was already taken. You know, so what I had to learn for Lane was Bechukosai. I had a friend who, we had the same birthday, he already scheduled his bar mitzvah. There's no Indian like that, but Hashkacha had it that my bar mitzvah parsha was pushed from Bahar to Bechukosai. And the Dvarim Gedolim Einu B'Mikra, everything is with Cheshvan, and so it turned out that my bar mitzvah parsha was Parshas Bechukosai, which is the Tochacha, and my father's bar mitzvah parsha is Kisavah, which is the Tochacha. And a very interesting thing, one of my, Akiva asked me the other day, who are some of my, I believe the Nusach was, who's on my Mount Rushmore of Rabbanim. And so I mentioned the first Rav that I ever had, the first person who I ever looked up to and said, that's an Isha Elokim, that's a godly man. It was the Rav of my shul growing up, Rabbi Avram Yitzchak Levine, who was, as I mentioned, the son of Rav Arya Levine, Tzaddik from Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Levine told my family that because Bechukosai was my bar mitzvah parsha, therefore it was the first time that I was going to be laning, it wouldn't be proper. And that he had a Kabbalah that the custom is that bar mitzvah boys don't lane the tochacha. Now, of course, as a bar mitzvah boy, I was thrilled about that, because Bechukosai is already a pretty short parsha, and that meant even shorter. The second Aliyah is the longest part. And so he said something. He said, "You know, you're not going to lean the tochacha. Your father's going to lean the tochacha." Okay, I was very happy about that. You know, it's family simcha. I'm not going to do it. My father's going to do it. Only many, many, many years later, the truth is, really in the middle of the whole process of my own personal journey through a rather large tochacha over the past few years. It was really in the middle of the process of the unfolding of that diagnosis, which happened in August of 2018, of Tafshinayim Ches. It was really only there that all of a sudden I understood how gewaldic and how prescient my personal tzaddik, my Rebbe, was in saying that my father should lay in the tochacha. Because everybody knows that the tochacha sounds different when it's coming from your father. That the tochacha, which is being read in shul, hopefully it should be in shuls throughout the whole world this week, should be zochah to go back into the shuls, and the big tochacha that we're getting, as soon as you recognize that that tochacha is coming from your father, it doesn't sting so much. It doesn't hurt so much. If you recognize, if there's someone sitting here who says, why did Hashem have to bless me with not such a high IQ? Everyone else seems to understand what's going on in shir so quickly, and it's always hard for me. And why did Hashem have to give me this bad temper? Why did Hashem have to give me this and that? And if the second a person stops for a second and says, Hashem is my father, and the only one who's saying over the tochacha is my father, then all of a sudden you start to hear the Tochacha in a different way. The Tzaddikim very famously understood all the Pesukim from the Tochacha as Brachos. Because the Gemara says that, you know, the Klolos, the Brachos of Bilam HaRasha are actually, you know, laced with hatred, with, you know, with animosity. And the Brachos, the Klolos of the Rabbanu Shalom are actually laced with Brachos. So the Tzaddikim said various different interpretations. You know, there's one of the Klolos is, you should, I mean, this is the worst Klolo you could ever imagine. We have Kinos about this on Tisha B'Av. You should eat the flesh of your children. How do you make that into a bracha? So the Tzaddikim said it means that you should give over Torah in such a way with sweetness to your children that they should maintain the same tradition that you have, that you should be able to eat their kashrus when you go to their house. You should eat the basar of your children means that when you go to their house, there shouldn't be any problems. Like, I used to keep mahadrin, now my kids, they only keep, you know, they only keep this level of kashrus. Or I used to keep regular, you know, Rabbanut Yerushalayim, and now my kids only, you know, they keep something that's a lower standard of kashrus for me. That you should eat the flesh of your children. Even that's a bracha. That you should, it doesn't mean chalila, fat. It means that you should be able to eat the food that your children present to you, and there should be a hemshech of the Masorah. And when you recognize that your father is the one who's giving you the tochacha, then everything comes into focus. And you recognize that all the brachos of the tochacha are really Hashem trying to give us something in a very sweet way. Even the things that are hard. Even the times that are hard, Hashem is there with me. And I'll end with this, and then we'll sing a negin, and we'll dav mincha. The Baal Shem Tov explained the pasuk, Ki hine oivecha Hashem, ki hine oivecha yovedu. It's a pasuk from Tehillim. Ki hine oivecha Hashem, ki hine oivecha yovedu. Behold Hashem, your enemies, Hine oivecha yovedu. Hashem, behold your enemies, behold oivecha yovedu. They should be lost. Hashem, your enemies should be lost. It's a poetic repetition. Hine oivecha Hashem. Behold Hashem, with regard to your enemies, Hine oivecha yovedu. Your enemies should be destroyed, Hashem. But the Baal Shem Tov explained, Ki hine oivecha Hashem, that the moment you recognize that your quote-unquote enemy, that the thing that's getting in your way, whatever it is, the thing that's tripping you up, whether it's your IQ, or whether it's your midos, or whether it's some guy who's bothering you, or whether it's some financial situation, or it's some emotional instability, or some whatever mashber that you're going through with your family, or your parents are going through, whatever it is, anything, whatever seems to be an enemy to you, hine oivecha Hashem. The second you recognize that that enemy is too strong of a word there, that resistance in your life, when you recognize that that thing that's resisting going the way that you want it is Hashem. Hine oivecha Hashem. When you recognize that that thing which is resistance for you is Hashem, hine oivecha yovedu, then your enemy disappears. Not, behold Hashem, your enemies will disappear, Hashem. No, 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 that's the simple pshat pasuk. The Baal Shem Tov said, the second you recognize that your enemy is Hashem, that resistance is really Hashem. Hashem is the one who's causing that resistance. And you recognize immediately that Hashem is the one who is causing that resistance, and He loves you, He's your Father who's giving the tochacha. Then hinei oivecha yovedu, then your enemy disappears. Because Hashem is not your enemy, chalila. Hashem is creating resistance so that you'll be able to push against that resistance and grow stronger. That the nisayon should lift you up. And that happens every Shabbos, the 6 days of the week. The 6 days of the week are resistance. Sheish yisayon ta'avod, it's resistance. It's avdos for 6 days. Even if we're so lucky to be learning Torah, when we come to Shabbos, we return to Shabbos, and when we return to Shabbos, we recognize we're able to sit back and relax for a second. All of a sudden, there's resistance gets set aside, and you recognize that Hashem is your Father. You recognize that Hashem all along was just giving you that resistance so that when you rest on Shabbos, all of a sudden, you're able to see all the growth that took place, all those opportunities to find Hashem out in the field, to find Hashem in the workplace, to find Hashem in all those different places that you find. Nu. Until next week. Din dein 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 Shabbos Kodesh Amamad Shabbos Kodesh Amamad Shabbos Kodesh Amamad Shabbos Kodesh Amamad Shabbos Kodesh, 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 Shabbos Kodesh
Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos.